Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to this special service. I normally preach on the second coming of Christ and have been doing so for many years on Saturdays. No, we're not Sabbath day Baptists, but I'm okay with that. I personally believe that the Sabbath is for everybody. However, you don't have to keep it to be saved. But we have had church on the Sabbath for many years. And I was planning on preaching on the second coming of Christ. Go ahead and give her that, as I normally do. But as God has put in my spirit to predict that this coronavirus plague pandemic was not going anywhere soon, it is of what the Bible calls long continuance. And that's what we have going on right now. I told you not to believe the lies of the happy talk politicians and the happy talk pastors, because we have not made God happy by confessing our sins and repenting of our sins, turning away from our sins. We all still need to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and repent, every last one of us. And nobody's better than the other. I'm no better than you are just because I am the messenger. God does not play favorites. God is no respecter of persons. If I got out of line, he'll deal with me just like he will deal with anybody else. And he is nobody to play with, and he's showing us that. But after some time throughout this day, I was wondering why God was, why things were going and moving as slow as they were. But as is often the case, God was speaking to my heart and preparing me to do something different today. I have not thought about doing a briefing in a long time, even though briefings, other briefings that I've done, 139, and other, and then we've kept the standing between the living and the dead service going. We did not stop the briefings because we thought the plague was over. We just felt that we have said all we needed to say. Well, I felt, as far as the briefing is concerned, which is really not a service. However, we turn it into a service by preaching the gospel every time. But I thought we had said pretty much what we needed to say regarding that. But now, today, if you got some breaking news, let me know on the on that subject. Check and see if there's been a reprieve or change. From what I'm gathering, I doubt it. But today, at midnight tonight, the moratorium on evictions across the nation will be lifted. And people, many people, millions of people, will be homeless soon. And so, in light of that, because I spoke on that, in all 139 briefings and in other sermons on what you need to do ahead of time before that happens. And this was a matter of time. And if it does not happen today, it's going to happen, and you need to get ready for that. Don't wait till they put your stuff out on the street. And so basically, today in this briefing, I'm going to tell people again what they need to do individually to survive this. As one prophet did for a family in the Old Testament. We'll read that verse. And also, I'm going to add some new things today and share with pastors and churches some things that they need to consider doing quickly, because it looks like this is going to happen. And the church, which many churches have stepped up, but many more are going to have to step up now. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the How to Stay and Survive the Coronavirus Plague Briefing. Podcast episode number 140. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. And the key word has always been, since the beginning of this plague, way back starting in March of last year, and that is repent. Repent. That's what God wants done. He wants us to turn from our wicked ways, each and every one of us. And sad to say, that's easier said than done because of our wicked, sinful nature. And some of us have it worse than others, sad to say. But our key passage of Holy Scripture today is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 58 through 61. And it says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance." I want you to remember that phrase, of long continuance. One of the things I have taught people about God is that when He gets tired of your mess, I know that does not, I know that our sweet evangelical and Baptist, Methodist, and charismatic Christians of the day don't like that kind of talk, because everything in their minds is supposed to be hunky-dory and perfect all of the time. And that is not how the real Christian life is, be that as it may. When God gets tired of your mess, your foolishness and your sin, He will chastise you because He loves you. And one of the most painful things about God's chastisement that is that in your mind is lasting a long time. Not in God's mind. What may be a second or two for God will be 2 or 3 years for you. That's why I have warned people, do not mess with God. Don't get God started. Just let it be. Let it be. I guess that's what the Beatles were trying to tell. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Ooh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. I guess that's what they were trying to get across to you. But I'm trying to get across you. Let it be. Do not cross God. Do not get him started. Just go ahead on and humble yourself down and do what he tells you. Obey him and you'll be all right with him. And he'll bless you and show you favor. But if he gets started on you, it's going to be a while. See. And right now God is chastising the whole church, his people, because we're just not right. We're full of corruption, pride, whoredom, and whoremongering in the church. Homosexuality, the church has gone beyond the pale. And I don't care who likes it, what I just said. See, in dealing with God, when you go beyond the pale, you see, sin accumulates. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, make you pay more than you wanted to pay. And once you get to a certain level in sin, then God has to act in every generation, in every situation, because he loves his people. And before they destroy themselves, he will start stepping. And you don't want God to do that. And that's what he's doing right now. And of long continuance and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance, he repeats it. And of long continuance. It's going to last a long time. It's going to continue for a long time. That's what he's saying. He repeated it. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of. And see, that's one of the things about God, my friends. That which you fear the most, if you mess with him, you don't obey him, you don't respect him, you marginalize him, you push him to the periphery, you knock him off of the throne of your life and put yourself there, the things you feared most will come upon you. And God knows what you're afraid of. See, all of us are afraid of certain things. And he knows what you are afraid of, and he'll have it to come upon you. Yes, he will. That which you fear the most, he will have to come upon you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee. And there are things that are not even written in the book of the law that God will bring upon you. You see, that's why this is not a medical issue. You people are still trying to believe these doctors and these politicians and these happy talk pastors that this is some kind of medical issue, health issue. This is a spiritual issue, man, what we're going through. Yeah, I told you the other day, people are asking, huh, why are these different variants popping up? And variants that can overpower the vaccinations and the vaccines and so forth. Why is that? God is the one who makes the variants. That's why. I'm laughing because you don't believe that. You believe the scientists. You believe the doctors. I mean, the scientists said in Great Britain yesterday, the scientific community said that more variants are going to come, and some more powerful, way powerful, way more powerful than the vaccines we have, and that the vaccines we make, this is what they said now, they put it at the end of the day, because they didn't want you to read it, but I read it. The vaccines that we make will bring on the emergence of these different variants that outdo the vaccines. Why is that? Because if God wants to get you, he's going to get you. If you don't hurry up and repent, pray, humble yourself, seek God's face, and turn from your wicked ways and repent, and get back to Jesus, your first love, people of God, that's what's going to happen. And many, many people of God have gone out into eternity early. Now, let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, I'm saved, so I'm all right. I'm vaccinated against here. I understand. But see, the problem is you don't want to go this way. There's something about this death and other plague deaths in the past that on your way to death is death. You understand me? I mean, the people who have come out, some proud and healthy and strong, and once they got it, though, they became very humble, very quick, very sorrowful, begging for the vaccine, wishing they had taken it because it is that bad. See, this thing will choke the very life out of you. It's a frightening death, a painful death. And a death that comes on you, and a sickness that comes on you that makes you very, very dependent on whoever they are brave enough to help you. And so there's a whole lot of psychological stuff going on, like you being a burden to other people. You're being selfish. Why don't you just go ahead on and let it kill you? Why are you trying to stay alive? Look at your family members that you're putting at risk. Look at these poor people out here in this hospital that you're putting at risk. Nobody can say bye to you. Nobody can come and hug your neck. Nobody can kiss you on the cheek and say, I love you. Unless you kill them. And whole families have been wiped out. Nuclear families. With the exception of one or two people. Parents have died and left the children behind. Even high school children who are getting ready to graduate. One young man went on a vacation with his fiance and came back, and within 2 or 3 days he was dead of this coronavirus. I mean, and to look at his picture, you can tell the man was suffering. He didn't even look like himself. It'll take you out fast, and it'll change you fast. You don't want to die like this. So don't talk foolishly. Don't be foolish in your behavior. And the last part of this verse, the last part of this verse says, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And that's what God is doing right now, I believe, in America. Dr. Matthew Henry said, sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Would attend the Jews wherever they went afterwards. The diseases of Egypt, leprosies, botches, and foul ulcers, and even Hitler, the Holocaust. Nay, as if the particular miseries here threatened were not enough, he concludes with an etc. The Lord will bring upon thee every sickness and every plague, though it be not written in the book of this law. Those that fall under the curse of God will find that the one half was not told them of the weight and terror of that curse. Dr. John Gill said, then the Lord would make their plagues wonderful, meaning visible. The whole world will know about it. Remarkable, shocking, distinguishable, and astonishing to all that see them. And not only their plagues, but the plagues of their seed. For they were to continue as they have done with their posterity. Age after age, even great plagues, and of long continuance, great as to quality and quantity, much of it. That's what's happening right now in America. That's what's happening in the world. Why? Because we have, see, sin has a way of increasing. That's why God hates sin, and one of the reasons why he hates sin, why he wants you to hate sin, because once you get into the weeds with sin, it has a tendency to grow and continue. Young man commits fornication a lot, and he goes and commits adultery in his marriage, and then he goes and he has his wife, and then he wants more women inside his marriage, and then he gets tired of women, and now he's going, got involved with some male group. Now he's contemplating and thinking about being a homosexual, or being involved somewhat with homosexuals, being on the down low. See, sin has a way of increasing and growing. And this is one of the reasons why God does not want us to start with sin in the first place. Don't even get going with it. And then when it gets to that point and you're starting to sin beyond the pale, where you're doing crazy stuff like sodomy and homosexuality, and that's when he has to step in and start dealing. And if necessary, and chastising, and if necessary, destroying stuff. Particularly when you get to the point where you get the government and the Supreme Court to go along with you of an entire nation. And firm, sure, lasting, and durable. Long continuance. The word used is rendered sure by prophecy and in the event, and which when inflicted would remain for a very long time. And all of this should be believed as certain, or what should certainly come to pass and be depended on, for these plagues are sore sicknesses and of long continuance, and more plagues besides those diseases mentioned will come. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 7 would come upon them. As you know, in all of these briefings we have quoted the great prophet, modern day prophet, Dr. Leonard Ravenhill. He said, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers but few agonizers, many players and payers, few prayers, many clingers, lots of pastors, many singers, few clingers, lots of pastors, few wrestlers, many fears, few tears, much fashion, little passion, many interferers, few intercessors, many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Now that brings us to the news section. According to the Washington Post, the federal ban on evictions will expire at midnight today, Saturday. That's one of the main reasons why I am doing this briefing this evening. It will expire at midnight tonight, marking a new worrisome phase in the race to keep people in their homes amid the slow trickle of emergency rental aid and surging coronavirus cases. There are still well over 6 million renters behind on their payments, and I think we will mention later there's right at 2 million people who are facing foreclosure. According to the New York Times, the moratorium scheduled expiration at midnight on Saturday tonight has left renters around the country packing their belongings and facing an uncertain future as they research for housing options. Already, homeless shelters have been adding beds in preparation for an influx of people in need of a safe place to live. The Census Bureau's most recent household pulse survey, which captures the impacts of the pandemic, found that 3.6 million people thought it was somewhat or very likely they would be evicted within the next 2 months, if not sooner. According to the Daily Mail, the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, SAGE, SAGE, of Great Britain, warned just yesterday that the next coronavirus plague variant could kill up to 1 in 3 people. They said that the doomsday scenario is a realistic possibility, and the vaccine rollout may even speed up mutant strains emergence. According to the Daily Mail of Great Britain, a CDC document says that the coronavirus plague, Indian Delta variant, is as infectious as Ebola or chickenpox, and infected vaccinated people transmit it as easily as unvaccinated people. According to NBC News, at least, I think it's over 200 and something thousand now, fully vaccinated Americans have tested positive for the coronavirus plague. That's people with 2 shots. And 1,400 of those have died. This is the kind of news they try to keep from you until Friday evening. According to CNBC News, Dr. Scott Gottlieb told CNBC on Friday he believes the coronavirus plague is significantly more widespread in the U.S. than official cases or than official case counts reflect, as the highly contagious Indian Delta variant sweeps the nation. Dr. Gottlieb, a former FDA commissioner, said, "I wouldn't be surprised if, on the whole, we're infecting up to 1 million people a day right now, and we're just picking up maybe a tenth of that, or less than a tenth of that." According to the Hill Easing, the number of coronavirus cases in Florida has jumped 50% over the past week, officials said Friday, as the state that already makes up a large chunk of the nation's total cases sees a surge in new infections. According to New York Daily News, the U.S. has reported the highest number of new coronavirus plague cases in the world over the last 7 days, according to the World Health Organization. The U.S. saw over 500,000 new cases, a 131% increase the week ending July 25th compared to the previous week. According to the Daily Mail, a member of the Hillsong megachurch who tweeted, "Got 99 problems, but a vax ain't one," which of course I dealt with, and which it does not even make sense, has died in California after a month-long battle with the coronavirus plague. Stephen Harmon died on Wednesday at the Corona Regional Medical Center outside Los Angeles, where he was being treated for the coronavirus plague and pneumonia. Harmon, who was a Hillsong College graduate, had made several jokes on social media in recent weeks about not having the coronavirus vaccine or not getting the coronavirus vaccine, including when he was in the hospital being treated for the virus. I call that gung-ho, foolish faith talk that some pastors are doing in this country. According to KBTX, the South Texas District Church of the Nazarene is canceling its annual kids camp after more than 80 people contracted the coronavirus plague from a youth camp. According to ABC News, a coronavirus plague outbreak of 30 cases, more than that now, has been reported among attendees of a church retreat. More than 800 people attended the Baptist church retreat in Miamisburg, Ohio. According to the Christian Post, Pastor Bruce Wesley of the multi-campus Clear Creek Community Church in Texas asked God for mercy after 125 people got infected with the Delta variant after attending a church-sponsored student ministry camp. According to the Daily Mail, a Minnesota woman who contracted the coronavirus plague after getting vaccinated had to have both of her legs amputated and will soon have her hands amputated as well. According to Deadline News, as the world's athletes gather in Japan for the Summer Olympics, the country is experiencing a fourth wave of the coronavirus plague infections. Countrywide, case numbers have risen 20% in the past week, and it is worse now, with 4,202 new infections reported on Friday. While the 7-day average of infections per 100,000 is still relatively low at 3.3, so are the number of Delta variant cases, which, while that's good news right now, does not bode well for the country with rising numbers if that more transmissive inevitably takes hold. According to the BBC, a new coronavirus outbreak first discovered in the Chinese city of Nanjing has spread to five provinces and Beijing, with state media calling it the most extensive contagion after Wuhan. Almost 200 people have been infected since the virus was first detected at the city's busy airport on July the 20th. According to the Daily Mail, America has seen coronavirus plague cases surge by 224% in the last 3 weeks. As the CDC director says, the Indian Delta variant now makes up 83% of all new infections. We're just bringing you up to speed at what is happening with this plague, so that you can be aware in case you're not paying attention. According to The Guardian, 95% of British adults are still wearing a mask when they leave the house. According to CNN, President Joe Biden announced a requirement that all federal employees and contractors be vaccinated against the coronavirus or be required to submit to regular testing and mitigation requirements. According to CNBC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended this past week that fully vaccinated people begin wearing masks indoors again, and even outdoors when around crowds. According to the Daily Mail, a 5-year-old Georgia boy with no underlying health conditions has died from complications of the coronavirus plague after his entire family contracted the coronavirus. According to BBC News, Australia has deployed hundreds of soldiers from their army to Sydney and other places to help enforce a coronavirus plague lockdown. A Delta outbreak, which began in June, has produced nearly 3,000 infections and led to 9 deaths. According to FaithWire News, the White House signaled that President Joe Biden is willing to return to the lockdowns and school closures of 2020 if the CDC recommends them. According to Fox News, U.S. Capitol Police were ordered to arrest visitors and staff who refused to wear a mask on the House side of the Capitol complex. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes some of the news from over the past few weeks that you need to be aware of concerning this plague. There's no going back to normal, people. And that's probably never. The America that we used to have is gone forever. And you can wish for it to come back. You can wish to go back to so-called normal, or you want to. But that's not happening. And you need to adjust to what God is doing. Let me just share with you, as the housing crisis is upon us, the moratorium on evictions wiped away, people are going to need food. And so write these numbers down, write these websites down, because when you need food, you need it. You don't want to experience food insecurity. It's not, that's not a fun thing. Feeding America, feedingamerica.org. Wherever you are in the nation, they can tell you where to get food. The telephone number is 800-771-2303. You say, well, I don't need any food today. Well, you may need some tomorrow. So get this number. Let me repeat this number to you. 800-771-2303. The website, which will include the number. The website for Feeding America is feedingamerica.org, 800-771-2303. The next organization is Action Against Hunger, actionagainsthunger.org, 212-967-7800. Call them and find out where you can get free food for your family if you need that. And then you have Food for the Hungry, fh.org, 800-248-6437. Let me repeat that number to you, 800-248-6437. Now, the big thing that is upon us is the housing crisis. The moratorium on evictions will expire tonight at 12 o'clock. And here's what you need to do as an individual, as I have taught you and told you for well over a year. Here are some alternative housing options to consider. Before we get into that, allow me to read in your hearing 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. So you see here, if you perceive a man to be a man of God, you might want to listen to him. And I'm telling you some things you need to do. Now, before we get into what you need to do individually, which I have shared with you many times, the Lord has led me to share some things with pastors and church leaders. Here are 10 things. I have many more, and I'll share those other things at another time in the future, if it be the Lord's will. Here are 10 things that churches, pastors and churches that are able, need to consider doing. Number one, as I've said many times over this past year, if a pastor or church staff member or church staff members are living in a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill, you know what kind of house I'm talking about, and their income comes primarily from the church congregation, they need to sell the house, the big house on Pork Chop Hill, and move into cheaper living quarters, a ranch house, an apartment, a double wide trailer or whatever, and use the money, the thousands, maybe millions of dollars, to help the poor people in the church. I've been saying that for over the past year and in many different formats, and I'm saying it again. Now, if a pastor is independently wealthy from his own his other enterprises and book sales, etc., and he is not totally dependent upon the church to pay his living expenses, then we're not talking about him. However, we would say to him that he would use his millions to help the poor in his church and in his community. And some have done that, some are doing that, and others will do that. Number two, there are pastors in every state, I believe, in America, both black and white, who have connections to at least one millionaire. He may be a church member, he may not be, he may not even come to church that much, he may not be faithful, but one millionaire who has told that pastor, if your church needs anything, I have a foundation set up to help churches and individuals. If your church needs something, I have a foundation set up to help. Over here. Over here. Or if you know of a pastor or a family who needs help, I can help. They need something. Just contact my office and we'll take care of it. All pastors who have that favor need to call these millionaires and billionaires now. And even if they have not promised to help you or invited you to contact them, you can invite yourself. If you have met them at a political rally, if you have met them at a business meeting or a citywide meeting, and you have a little connection, contact them and just explain the situation and tell him, we need for you to deposit $2 million in our bank account so that we can provide housing for the people who are getting ready to lose housing or who have lost housing. Some pastors in some states are so influential that they can help not only their own church members, but the members of other churches and other people in the community who don't belong to any church. And they need to call those millionaires and billionaires now and get the help for the poor people. But make sure you got the right kind of accountants in the church or connected to your church. Independent of your church would be even better to handle the money, but to get the money out to the poor quickly with no strings attached. I thank God that we live in a country that did what it has done in this plague pandemic. That's a blessing. But it's time for the church to step up more and take care of their people and the people in the community. White, black, red, and yellow. Everybody. There are also, I think this is number four. Is that right? Number four? Somebody talk to me. Thumbs up. There are millions of dollars held up by state and city governments. I do not know why the money is held up, but it has to be loosened up. One of the reasons why I think it is because the government likes to get all of the documentation and everything they can on people who are asking for money to make sure there's no fraud and all of that. Those pastors who have influence with local politicians need to get on the phone and get them to give that money to certain reputable churches that have the proper accountants to handle the money so that they can give it out to the people who need it the most and get it out quickly. Not only church members, but all other people in the community who are not church members. And this money needs to be freed up to not only take care of housing, but to get people's utilities cut on and paid up as well. Meaning overriding a bad situation at the last place that would prevent them from getting their utilities cut on at the new place. So we need for folks who have the ministry and the gift of helps in all of our churches to become, if you will, the safety net for these people, and who can flat get it done, and just tell the electric company, the gas company, the water company, okay, they owe what? Okay, we'll be down there with a check, or we're going to pay you right now online. So let's get this paid. We have the money, and we need to get this paid right now so that they can have electricity and water and all of that good stuff to get started with. And then next, pastors and churches have to educate those who are being evicted that in this place called America, evictions are not to be taken personally. You cannot take evictions personally. It's a matter of law in most cases. Landlords have to be made whole because they have major bills and obligations to pay, including taxes. And the government wants them to pay those taxes. That's why you got Congress people who have left town and are not going to vote on this. Democrats and Republicans. And humanly speaking, as governments go, they have, to me, done a wonderful thing for the people of America this long. But this day of reckoning is going to come. God led me to try to warn you that it was going to come so that you can leave out of the place in dignity and not have your stuff set outside on the street. And I will share those things again after I get through with this. Because these landlords have major bills to pay as well, and taxes to pay, and they have rights under the law just as renters do. And not only do landlords have to be made whole financially, but tenants have to be made whole psychologically. For nobody who is normal wants to live in somebody else's house without paying what is due to the landlord. That hurts you psychologically. That's too much stress, too much pressure, and you're constantly bombarded with it. And some landlords will make sure you're bombarded with it because they know the power of guilt, and they know the power of conscience, and how that we, most of us, want to do the right thing and be, have our conscience clear. So what is due to the landlord, people want to pay that. So the landlords need to be made whole financially, and the tenants need to be made whole psychologically. So pastors need to share that with the people. Don't let the people get you all angry at the landlords with them, because this is not the landlord's fault. They've suffered a great deal too. All right. So now the moratorium on evictions is supposed to end tonight, Saturday night. And Saturday, July the 31st. But even if it does not end tonight, this day of reckoning is coming, and everybody needs to understand what is happening and what is going on, lest somebody gets hurt because they're angry at the landlord. The landlord does not want to be nasty, he just wants his money. And some can and will get nasty because the game has changed and you're not moving voluntarily, and so they have to get somebody to come move your stuff out. That's just the law. There's nothing you get to take personally. Don't get angry. And pastors need to educate people about what's going on, and especially church members. Pastors need to remind them how thankful they ought to be that they live in a country that would even try to help a little bit. So all Christians ought to have a spirit of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, and pastors need to help that along. Prominent pastors, as well as a group of pastors next, who have a good testimony in the city and influence, need to cut deals with as many hotel operators as possible. And there are many hotel companies that are hurting and they need the money. And cut deals for the people, for their people, and for other people in the community. Some families, you need to put in a suite. Small families, you can put them in a double room, but they can operate better from a hotel room than from a shelter. There's a computer there, there's a phone there, and internet. They can operate and get something going. In the words of one preacher, they can germinate. And the church cannot just look out for their own. The church must look out for people who are not a part of any church. Pastors and churches next. Next, pastors and churches should not look to shelters to take care of their people or anybody in their community. That's going to make matters worse. And you're going to be down there bailing out the shelter when you can be doing something else for these people. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Put them in a situation where they can operate and they can germinate. Put them in a modern place where there's internet and food and water to drink and other drinks and so forth and so on, where they can relax and have some privacy. Next, this is the time for the church, Daniel, Ezekiel, to be the church for real. And some wealthy, well-to-do families who have a whole section of house that they don't use in the church need to bite the bitter bullet and invite a family that has been tested and vaccinated to live in their home. Now let me tell you, for most people today who live in America, there was a time when this wouldn't be anything. But we're so independent today and so private today and so paranoid today and so protective today, we don't want anybody in our house. We just don't want anybody. No matter how big the house is, we don't want anybody, even though they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Most people just don't want that. I know. Most people, including Christians, don't even want the neighbors to speak unless there's an emergency. You don't mean any harm. You don't hate nobody, but don't be shocking me by speaking to me every time I come out my house, and I will not shock you. Many of us are that way, you know it. We don't know each other that well. Well, I got to wave and say something to you every day. All of a sudden, almost every day I come out my house, there you are, like you're watching me in my house and waiting for me to come out. No, we don't. In fact, we think being a good neighbor is being unseen and unheard from. We do not even believe in the philosophy of borrowing sugar from the neighbor, like back in the day. So much less living in the house. And I'll be honest with you. Let me just be real with you now. I mean, so because this is going to be a sacrifice. Okay, that's what we do as Christians. But the few times I stayed in a home, I mean, this goes way back in my early days of the ministry, of traveling all around the world. There were a few times that I stayed with families. It was just a tradition. Either the pastor and his wife down in Jamaica, I did that. In Belgium, I did it. In California, I did it. In Alaska, I did it. I remember just a few times. For me, being an introverted, private person, it was torture for me. I'm not a gregarious individual. I'm not an extrovert individual at all. I have no desire to talk to you other than the gospel. In other words, I don't do small talk. I have no interest in doing small talk. I don't want you saying anything to me at breakfast. I really don't want to see you at breakfast. Not my own family. I'm talking about people, strangers. I hate the tension of, you know, the bathroom door is closed and you don't know if anybody's in there. So I know it's tough, but it's going to have to be done. Some folks are going to have to sacrifice. And I would encourage you to be the gregarious kind, the extroverted kind. Don't be an introverted people inviting your house and people become scared of you because you don't speak to them and they think you're mad at them. So, Pastor, you know your people who can handle this. It's about 30% of them in your church, 40% maybe, who can do it. The other 60 to 70%, leave them be. Don't let them hurt people's hearts and minds. But those good-hearted people who have the gift of helps, and not to say the introverted people don't have good hearts, they have good hearts in other ways. They have the gift of helps and the gift of mercy, and the wife is a good wife. She keeps her house clean. She's a good woman, a good mother. She keeps her house clean. Just within minutes of time, she can invite people into her house. That kind of woman. She's got not only food ready for her family, but for others. Always. That kind of woman is the kind of woman you need. And try to give them a private section in your big old house, where they have their own bathroom, own master's bedroom, where they can, the husband and wife can get together and have some privacy, and the children can be in one room and so forth. If you have a motorhome, if you have a fifth wheel, if you have a houseboat, if you have a travel trailer, open it up for families. On your property, go ahead and hook it up, get the air conditioning blowing, and they'll be snug as a bug. And you can keep your house to yourself. And many of you, especially my white brothers and sisters, you have travel trailers and fifth wheels and motorhomes and a houseboat. you can take care of five families. Do that. And when they get a little money, they can rent it from you till they get on their feet. Pastors who have influence with Google, next. Pastors who have influence with major enterprises such as Google, Facebook, Amazon, SpaceX, and other places need to insist that these people hire people, yes, from your church, from your community, who have certain gifts and certain talents and certain abilities and certain training, to hire these people to do certain specialized jobs and simple jobs from home. I still believe that Google, especially Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, SpaceX, they can employ everybody in the nation if they wanted to from home doing simple tasks. And I believe if the right kind of people, the right pastor who has that gift of communication would talk with them, and pastors who have influence, they can get some folks hired and start making money from home so they can move out of the temporary situation and then move on in back into another place. And I'll share a few places with you for the interim. Next, churches need to start a church family devotion time. Most families do not have family devotions. That's one of the reasons why we're in the mess we're in today. This should be led by the pastor, but the pastor can assign somebody if he wants to. If they have not done so at a reasonable regular time in the morning, if they have not done so already each morning, 7 days a week, seven, not just Monday through Friday, no. This needs to be early enough that it does not interfere with the regular church service, if the church service is online or live, whatever you're doing, wrong, whatever you're doing. You should not be meeting right now in live services, pastors, but you do you. I'll see you on the other side. But on a more serious note, this prayer meeting, this devotional, is a huge family devotional, especially for people that you know don't have devotions. This is crucial. This is important. More important than anything else I have said. So make sure you start it. And once you get into it, it'll become more comfortable, but never easy. 7 days a week. And you should pray and read the Word of God together. And people should be able to share prayer requests and be prayed for on the spot 7 days a week before regularly scheduled church services. And then next, the pastor or someone appointed by the pastor ought to be preaching a gospel message, maybe say 11 o'clock every morning, 7 days a week. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Not to interfere with the regular services where the pastor is preaching and so forth. Every day, either from the church or from their home, utilizing the church's online platform, which should be beefed up by now big time, so that people in the community and in the world and who are facing some of the most dangerous times in modern history can hear the gospel being preached unto the poor. That's a blessing. All right, so pastors, I hope you got that. I have a few more things to tell you. Maybe I'll tell you that later on in the week. For individuals, here's your first alternative to housing. You can buy off-grid housing from Country Homes of America. The housing should be cheaper, but it's because it's out in the country. It may not be now because of the real estate situation. Country Homes of America is the largest rural listing service in the nation. You'll be off the grid now. That means you're going to have a water pump. You're going to have to go back in time, like you're going to live a house on the prairie, but not quite. I was preaching out in Kansas area, Missouri area, and they provided us a house. I guess because of the tornadoes, it was halfway underground. My wife's favorite show before she met me was Little House on the Prairie. I said, here you go. All right. I said, here you go, right here. This is a Little House on the Prairie right here. That's what you wanted. You love that show so much. Isn't that right? So you may have to go to the Little House on the Prairie for a little while. It's okay. It's all right. But second alternative, you can buy mobile homes from Champion Home Builders at championhomes.com. You say, well, me in a mobile home? Yes, you. Sometimes in life, God will put you in a situation where you've got to humble down and do some things you thought you would never do again. Because some of you were raised in mobile homes. You act like you had never seen a mobile home before. You were raised in one. And that's why you don't want to go back. And I understand that. And if you don't have to go back, don't. But for those of you who do, you need to provide a place where your family can stay. And as this old preacher used to say, germinate. You need a place, like my dad used to say, where you can operate. You got to have a place where you can operate. It's not just about being comfortable. It's about being in a situation where you can operate. You can move. You can move on up a little higher. Okay? For decades, Champion has served as a leader in the manufactured housing industry and one of the largest modular home builders in North America. Third alternative, you can buy a tiny house from tinyhouselistings.com. I've given you a bunch of names over the years for tiny houses, for trailers, double wides, and for off-grid housing. And if one of the richest men in the world, the guy who's the owner of Tesla and SpaceX, what's his name again? Elon Musk, I believe. He sold all of his mansions, and he had all of his houses were bigger than yours. All of his houses, you can fit your house in 10, 20 times. He sold all of his big houses. He realized he didn't need it. You know what he bought? A tiny house. And that's where he lives today. He lives in a tiny house. So if Elon Musk can live in a tiny house and he has billions, almost trillions, then you can live in a tiny house too. And if you're following Jesus, and if you would follow Jesus, you would live in more modest housing anyway, because you know you don't need all that. Some of you, it's just the two of us. And you're living in a big old house, 13 rooms, 13 bathrooms, you don't need that. Sell all of that and move into a tiny house and give the money to the poor. Tiny House Listings focuses on exploring and sharing the benefits of living in a smaller, less expensive, more humble home that frees up time and cash. It's just smart to do. And I know some black folks say, man, I'm the first one in my family to get a mansion or to get a house like this. I'm not giving up my house for no tiny house. You can forget that. I understand. But sometimes things come along in life that will make you change. And you got to adapt to what God is doing and not what you want to do. Unless you be silly out there in a mansion where everybody else is in a tiny house. Fourth alternative, you can find alternative housing at Motorhome Specialists at mhsrv.com. Motorhome Specialists is second to none. Pricing and selection on motorhomes, fifth wheels, travel trailer, whatever you need, they can get it for you. And one of the most beautiful ways to live, particularly when you get to a certain age, because contrary to what you think, even though a motorhome has wheels, and a fifth wheel has wheels, and a travel trailer has wheels, you don't have to always be using those wheels. You can pull a small vehicle behind your motorhome, or you can get a big old truck and pull your fifth wheel and your travel trailer or Suburban or whatever, and go park somewhere that's centrally located in the middle of everywhere and live the good life and go live where you want to live. It's a beautiful life, a whole lot less stress, and no cutting of grass. Oftentimes, no utilities whatsoever, except for electricity. You got to pay your electricity bill. That's it, and that's not much on a travel trailer, a motorhome. Nothing like a house. White folks been doing it for years, and I'm a part of the vanguard of introducing black folk and brown folk to it. It's a wonderful lifestyle once you get to a certain age. When you don't want a whole lot of stress and a whole lot of bills to pay, all of that. So, you need to consider it. All right? And so, we have dealt with the main issues today. I told you way back when I started this briefing, I'll help you with the home family. I'll help you with the home church, the home school, and home business. And I have done that. I don't know what one of my producers have for me today. She wants me to talk with you about curriculum, because some of y'all, just like I predicted last year this time, you're going to be home with your children. Some of you got mad at me. You hate it when I said that, but you have been home with your children for a long time, and guess what? You're going to be home with them again this year. Maybe not all every day, but most days you're going to be home with them, especially if you love your children. You don't want your children out there in this. You understand me? This variant does not play. A 5-year-old boy died the other day in Georgia. Got sick. Two days later, he was gone. I recommend ACE. If you want something simple, thorough, easy to deal with, adaptable, I recommend ACE. That's what I recommend. Because if you read those paces, you will get an education. I have my wife reading all of the paces from the 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and making sure that the children have all the gaps filled in. And because gaps in your education is a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. Not good. So I recommend ACE. But there are many curriculums out there. Abeka, I recommend them. We've used Abeka. We use ACE. Because they invited me to speak there. They invited me for a conference, rather, regarding race many years ago. They want me to help them with their race problem. Bob Jones University has an excellent curriculum for homeschooling as well. I know some of my black friends will hate me to mention that name. I understand. But they do have a great curriculum, especially in third grade math. Okay? So there's a certain thing that they do well. They may have been racist in the past, but they're not dummies. So, you know, you only throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. They've gotten better over the years. They're not perfect, but they've gotten better over the years. Pray for them. So I was introduced to their curriculum after I had the conference with them, and I told them the truth. I told them to their faces, you cannot show me anywhere in the Bible that a black person should not date a white person. And they said, oh, yes, we can. I said, no, you can't. And y'all need, and see, that's what y'all need to do. Stop lying on the Bible. Okay, I told them the truth. I did not compromise with them, and they still introduced me to their curriculum and so forth. And I appreciated it. And with seven children, I needed all the help I can get. It's a book. As long as they're not saying anything racist in the book, as it's about math, then I want to see it. Anyway, one of my producers want me to talk to you about the Chalk Dust Curriculum Review from the homeschoolingmom.com. Now, if you don't have the homeschoolingmom.com on speed dial by now, you better get her. Okay? Chalk Dust is a video math curriculum corresponding to Houghton Mifflin textbooks. The curriculum is a combination of DVD instruction, textbook examples, a solutions guide with step-by-step solutions to problems in the text. And may I just say something to all black people and brown people, let me tell you, white people too. Math is important. Especially in this day and time, you better get that math. That math will open up some doors for you, man. Real quick like. You master math, you may not even have to, you'll get a job where, I mean, making so much money that you might be able to skip some steps in life. if money is your main thing. I do recommend that all people get a bachelor's degree at least, because it broadens your mind and your life out in a very special way. But anyway, and personal help when needed via telephone or the internet. Topics to round out your home school schedule, part two. Organizational skills. Some people are naturally organized, and some, raising my hand, are not. Introducing organizational skills is something that can be built upon over the years. If you have a child who struggles with staying organized, work with your child, not against them. There are plenty of books, videos, and even online classes that can help children learn to be better organized. And by the way, you're not going to go far in life if you're not organized and if you don't stay organized. It's hard to push forward when things are not organized. Some children prefer to write all their ideas and chores and schedules on a whiteboard, while others might prefer a planner or an app or a plain old notebook. I'm the old notebook kind of a guy. I'd rather handwrite my list of what I'm going to do. Then I know that I know I'm good to go. Get creative and don't get discouraged. If one method isn't working, You can even make organizing fun by assigning small projects to your child and have them research ways to best tackle the issue. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have a question for you. If you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? This is more important than all of the other stuff, all of the other things that I've covered today. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, please understand that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Please understand that because of your sins, you deserve punishment in hell. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." This includes both physical death and spiritual death in that awful place called hell. And hell is a very real place. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. John 3:16, Jesus Christ said, "The most wonderful, the most loving, and the most important words ever said in the history of the world." When he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The phrase "for God so loved the world" simply means that if you are in this world, beloved, God loves you no matter what you have done in your life. The next phrase, "that he gave his only begotten Son," refers to Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He is God's Son who suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. The next phrase, "that he gave his only begotten Son," refers to that whosoever believeth in him, the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The phrase "believeth in him" means to trust in him, to depend upon him, to rely on him, or to have faith in him for your soul's salvation. Our next phrase, "should not perish," refers to eternal punishment in that awful place called hell. And lastly, the phrase "but have everlasting life" simply means to live forever in heaven with God. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell? Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with God. So, dear friend, if you're willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation today and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, he will do it. You do not have to be in a beautiful, ornate church to get saved. Don't wait on that. That day may never come at this point. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to work in the church to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. It's not by your works of righteousness that you have done. Just simple faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be saved today, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Call on his name. Call on his name. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will do so. Repeat after me in prayer if you want to be saved today, believing in none other than Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God, shed his blood on the cross for your sins. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I admit that I have lied before. I admit that I have stolen things before in my life. I admit that I have lusted after people and things before. I admit that I have dishonored my parents and I have disobeyed them. I've taken your name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, and hopefully if the Lord tarries his coming, if the Lord says the same, and we live, we'll be tomorrow morning early, we'll be having communion service, and we may have one other service as well, if the Lord leads me to do so. So God bless you. Until next time, God loves you, we love you, And may God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you. And we thank you for what you have done here today. Once again, you have changed the message that I was planning on preaching and led me to do something I was not thinking about doing. And for the sake of the people, for your glory, your praise and honor. And I do give you all of the glory, praise and honor. Thank you for what you have done. And Lord, I pray that millions of lives will be saved. Millions of souls will be saved. Millions of lives will be saved. Millions of families will be provided for. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.